Podsecular episode 334, Waypoint in the News for December 8th, 2012. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Dustdorm.
I'm Daffling.
And we are back from quite a long hiatus. Our last episode, we actually had Kevin Franklin on to talk about War Games. And we actually got some pretty good results off of that show. Lots of good feedback on having the show out there, having the interview with Kevin Franklin. And believe it or not, day one, we got 20,000 downloads for that episode. So thank you guys for tuning in. And for all of our newer listeners out there, thank you for coming back to us and checking us out. We hope that we can be your number one source for Halo news. With that aside, we are a little bit behind on some of the stuff that has come out recently just because we were waiting on that interview to get approved. And we've been enjoying Halo ourselves. But we're back and we're going to kind of go through all of the Waypoint Bulletin stuff that's happened over the past 2 or 3 weeks. And there's actually been a lot of info that's dropped over the last week. As of this recording, we have the Crimson Map Pack that got announced. We had the at the VGAs, we had Spartan Ops actually get announced for the second half of the season. And that's going to actually be coming out in January. So we actually have a break from new Spartan Ops episodes coming out, which is a little down. But at least we have the Crimson Map Pack to kind of fill that in. There's also a competition that's going on for some Halo prizes that got announced earlier this week as well. And we'll be going all over all that information on this episode. But first, let's kind of catch up on how we've been doing. So I know Halo 4 for me, I've been just going through doing challenges whenever I get online, playing War Games, going through all the playlist updates and kind of playing the latest and greatest playlist that gets added in there, going through the campaign, going through Spartan Ops and all that fun stuff. I think I got all of my achievements this last week when this last episode of Spartan Ops came out. Daft, have you gotten all your achievements yet? Or are you still working on some of them?
No, I've been so slow on that.
Oh yeah, about how many achievements do you have so far, and what ones do you still need to get?
Well, I'm on Xbox. Let me see. Halo 4, 37 out of 49.
So you're pretty well along.
630 points. Yeah, I mean, most of the achievements that I don't have are like a couple of them are like those in mission like blank, you know, do like this special whatever.
The mission specific ones, yeah.
Cuz those are kind of annoying, some of them.
Well, like the midnight one. You have to do that at midnight.
Yeah, that one's kind of stupid.
Yeah. I honestly thought it was just like at midnight was it meant cuz I mean, there are some dark parts of it, so I originally thought that was supposed to be like maybe at nighttime, but I don't know. It's a little silly of an achievement, to be honest, because you can either just go and change your clock and wait an hour, or you can wait and like play War Games, and then 15 minutes before that midnight comes up, you wait in campaign, you just sit there, and then when midnight hits you, you go run and do one of the jumps.
Yeah. So, yeah.
It's an easy achievement. It's just kind of
stupid. It's like, I don't feel like changing my clock offline, but I always forget to do it like on a nighttime when I'm up. So
yeah, I have a few friends that are like that too.
Yeah, and then a couple of my other achievements are like Spartan Ops stuff, like in chapter whatever, do this and that. I mean, I'll get that stuff eventually. I don't know. I've just been so busy.
Yeah,
I've been busy with like school, homework. I have a job at McDonald's. And, just stuff. So I've barely been able to play like any games in general. But I mean, I've been keeping up with the Spartan Ops, like just playing the episodes. They're pretty good. Besides, yeah, I need to get the Halo achievements pretty soon. one of these days.
Yeah. Well, we get 8 more of them in 2 days as of this recording.
Well, you know,
with the Crimson Map Pack. Yeah, I know, right?
Besides Halo, I've been playing some World of Warcraft, new patch came out, really fun.
Very nice.
Oh yeah, I got Far Cry 3. That's really good. Yeah, highly recommend it. It's great. Last big game of the year. New maps came out for Battlefield 3. Those are really good too.
Oh, I saw those. I haven't buttoned those yet.
Yeah, no, it's like they're earthquake kind of ravaged maps, like in Iran. Yeah, they're pretty fun.
Okay.
New vehicles, and there's like a crossbow and stuff. And
Battlefield isn't always a good alternative to Halo, I think, for me.
Yeah, it's really, well, because it's kind of similar to like vehicles,
but
and
I think of out of the all of the modern warfare like shooters, like Call of Duty, Medal of Honor, and Battlefield, Battlefield 3 is by far probably the best one in my opinion.
It's the most realistic, definitely.
Yeah. And with the destructible scenery, it just makes for some fantastic gameplay.
Yeah. Yeah, so I've been spread out with my games lately, just trying to find time in general, but yeah. That's it.
I feel you there. I have Assassin's Creed and Black Ops just kind of sitting on the shelf until I find time, and I don't even know if
everything I really kind of forgot about Assassin's Creed when Halo came out.
Yeah, it kind of got shadowed by that, and then Black Ops came around, and I mean, some Halo people forgot about, or some people that went over to Black Ops forgot about Halo. So,
yeah, this is kind of a longer discussion, but I feel like that was a huge mistake releasing Halo right before Call of Duty.
Well, I mean, this happens every time Halo comes out and Call of Duty comes out, and then Assassin's Creed, they're all bunched into this 1 month window.
Well, no, not necessarily, because I don't really count anniversary coming out in November, because that wasn't like, you know, that wasn't like a full-blown new Halo game. That was kind of a smaller thing. But, I mean, Reach came out in September. I mean, they usually come out in September, like, in recent years.
Well, so Halo 1 was November. Halo 2 was November. Halo 3
was
September.
But that was before it really was competing with Call of Duty. So I think
I don't think
we should use those. People always argue, oh, Halo 1 and 2 came out in November. But that was before this big like shooter, this massive, you know, shooter competition between COD and Battlefield and like etc. So I don't think that those should be used as a template for now.
Fair enough. And I mean, there's also the point that people want to do it before the holiday season kicks off. So
yeah,
I mean, there's strategic methods of why they do it at certain times. And either Frankie or someone else was on during an interview or another podcast. It may have been the Sparkcast, but kind of going into details on why they did it that way. I think it's the latest Sparkcast, actually. I'll have to go back and listen to it. But yeah, that's another discussion that we'll talk about later. But getting into some of the news, we've had playlist updates every week. They've kind of engineered the updates to where they can actually put them out on a weekly basis. So we've been seeing new playlists pop in and out of matchmaking. And I don't know. Is it just me, or does it feel like the rate they're pulling playlists in and out just a little overkill? Because I understand that there's a certain limitation on the amount of playlists you can have on Xbox Live playlist feeds.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that they're putting playlists out and then removing them seems a little, I don't know, doing it on a weekly basis? It just seems a little bit of a stretch to me.
Well, the playlist thing, I mean,
granted, the playlist
have
to come in.
They have too many playlists, they're too spread out. And let me tell you why. Like, so Capture the Flag, Regicide, and Oddball, they don't need their individual playlists, in my opinion. They should be just all clumped together into Team Objective. That's one. SWAT should just be always there. Sniper should be always there. FFA throwback, or I mean, you know, they should just call it Rumble Pit, you know, what it, like it's always been. Just have the free for all playlist. I mean, see, this is the thing. I don't want 343. They can add like kind of their touches, like some new things here and there, but for the most part, just like it needs to be how it's always been with the playlist, and just like I don't want them changing things up too much.
Right. I do agree with having the Capture the Flag and the Oddball and King of the Hill kind of mixed in. The only hesitance I have on that is because there's no veto anymore. And it's just you have three different maps that you have to choose from. They would either have to modify the matchmaking system where they could veto, or you're going to see something where you have Capture the Flag in one slot on one map, you have Oddball on one flag in the other slot, and then King of the Hill on one map in another slot. So it could work, but just with how the matchmaking system is laid out, I can kind of understand why they have the different playlists like this. And
yeah.
My guess is that after a certain amount of time, after people have kind of gotten used to the game types and are kind of feeling around, and Waypoint and 343 have a better idea of where people kind of spend most of their time, I think we'll start to see some merging of playlists. At least that's how I hope it goes down.
Yeah.
But the first week that we had out was SWAT. So we had SWAT in 1 week, and then Team Snipers came out the next week. FFA Throwback came out, and then Team Regicide. That's been kind of the progression so far. And then this last week, or actually this coming week, is we're going to have Extraction actually put into the playlist rotation. So Extraction is one of the new game types that got added to the mix. And if you listen to the last podcast that we had with Kevin Franklin, you'll know what it is. But it's basically a different, it's a twist on Assault and kind of Territories, where you have to go around, you start an extraction at one site, and you basically have to defend it for a certain amount of time before you pull the resources out, and then you get a point. And it's the first of five extracts to win.
Mm.
And there's two sites at one time that you go, and there's, I think on every map, there's five different extraction points. So after out of those five, the first one to five wins extraction. And it's an interesting game type. I played it with a couple of people, had two or three different parties go into extraction, and it's a, it works, or to me, it feels very much like Territories. Because you're working to defend a territory, but you're also working to taking over another one. And it's just kind of holding it for a certain amount of time that's what you're really focusing on. So have you had a chance to play Extraction at all, or have you just kind of stuck to the...
I played it Customs.
So what did you think of it?
I thought it was pretty fun. I think it's kind of cool how your Spartan pulls out like the big kind of gadget thing. And
yeah, that sets it looks it down. A little weird. With a little orb at the front of it.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. But so that's coming to the playlist this coming week. So that's going to be really interesting. It's going to be introduced with the Crimson Map Pack. So if you guys have played it, let us know what you think. Once it gets into the playlist, I'm wondering what kind of challenges we're going to see for that. I'm sure we're going to see a weekly that says get a certain number of extracts or something related to that.
Extraction.
Extraction. So hopefully you guys enjoyed that. I think it's a fun game type. It's a nice twist on a classic. Kevin Franklin said it was more like a replacement for Assault, but from playing it, it feels like Territories.
Yeah.
That's how it feels to me.
Well, they didn't even really need to like replace Assault, because that was kind of a fun game type sometimes.
Yeah, it's basically like inverted Capture the Flag.
Yeah, I mean, this is what I'm going back to is I really don't want 343 changing things up that much. Like, for example, they didn't need to get rid of Assault. That's a traditional Halo game type / playlist, or well, it's an objective, but they should have kept that in. I mean, they can add on stuff like Extraction, but don't replace things. Like, leave the traditional stuff as it is.
Right.
It's like, it's sacred to the fans.
Hopefully it's something that they can bring back sometime in the next few months.
Yeah.
So, moving off through some of the bulletins, we are behind quite a bit. So we're going to go through, going back all the way to the November 14th bulletin. So we're going kind of far back here. A couple of stats that they released about the first 5 days of Halo 4. There were over 4 million people that played Halo 4 on Xbox Live, and that's 4 million unique people that were playing online. That's not 4 million instances of someone getting online and playing. That's 4 million unique people going to play online.
Yeah.
13.5 million hours spent playing the campaign. 16 million hours were played doing war games. So that's about even split, I think.
Yeah.
For war games and campaign. There were the kill stats and death stats on here were kind of interesting as well. There were 2.6 billion kills in campaign and 1.4 billion kills in war games. So that's a lot of deaths.
Yeah.
That is crazy. So, some interesting stats that they released about day one. They've also done some patches on maps. If you read the bulletin, you see that they're actually going through and patching holes and stuff. So one of the big ones that they patched 2 weeks ago, I think they addressed this in the November 21st bulletin, was the spot on Complex where you could jump in with the oddball and just camp there. So they did fix that, thankfully. And something to note, that if you go in and still play something on custom games, those fixes aren't there, so you actually have to download the game type from the matchmaking playlist and then use that version of the map to play. They can't really go in and change something that's been burned on disk. They can just add kill barriers and other stuff that's actually into the map file structure that you download in the matchmaking playlist. So if you want to use the maps that are they have all the fixes on, you need to make sure you download those after the games. And you can go into your temporary history after you do a matchmaking game and just save them from there.
Yeah.
So for the 11.14 update, we had the introduction of Team Snipers on the playlist, and that was done on Longbow, Complex, Solace, Ragnarok, Vortex, Exile, and Meltdown. Unfortunately, since then, Team Snipers playlist has been removed. So,
which is kind of stupid. I mean, Team Snipers, like I said, it's a like traditional playlist. Just keep it in there.
I'm kind of indifferent to Team Snipers. It's a cool playlist, but I'm not really offended that it got removed from matchmaking.
I'm offended. I don't even like Team Snipers, but I'm defending it. Like, I'm serious. Like, look, this is how it should go. Like, your traditional stuff that you don't get rid of, like Team Slayer, Big Team, the team objective, which, you know, as I've said before, should be created, and we know how to do that. Team SWAT, Team Snipers, Free For All, Infection, like, that's just, like, the staple stuff that should always be there. And you can add in, you can play around with, like, some other kind of wacky, you know, whatever playlists, you know, besides that stuff, but that stuff should always be there, all of it, in my opinion.
And that's a fair point. We'll see. I'm sure we'll see it come back at some point. And like we said earlier, I think the merging of playlists is going to come into play sometime early next year. At least that's the way I feel it should be.
Should we just like discuss this now? How, in my opinion, we're not getting like the full game until January.
I want to save that for another podcast because I feel that discussion is going to be really long.
Okay.
So
there's a lot to be said about that.
Yeah, there is. Our next podcast is going to, or either the next podcast or the podcast after, is going to be a big discussion about war games in particular. So, yeah.
Prepare. You guys, but Spartan Ops and campaign, we have no complaints.
Yeah, they. Well,
okay.
I have a few complaints about the depth of the story in Spartan Ops, but that's something else. But yeah,
that's very minor in the big picture.
Yeah, that's minor. But there's some issues with war games that have popped up, and a lot of people have voiced their issues with it. And 343 is trying to patch as many of them as it can. But with just how some of them kind of came out, a lot of people are disappointed with how things just kind of slipped through. So we'll talk about that on a future podcast. Talking with some of the other things on the bulletin for November 14th, they went into major detail on how you can navigate through Waypoint on your computer, on your mobile device, on the Xbox. So if you have any questions about how to navigate it, you want to check out this bulletin because they have, I want to say this is probably the longest Halo bulletin I've seen because they have screenshots of just about everything that you can find on there. So if you have any questions about navigating Halo Waypoint on any device that you're looking at, make sure you go and check out this bulletin. You can check up on anything from game history to weapon stats to enemy stats. It breaks it down into campaigns, Spartan Ops stats, War Games custom, matchmaking. You can do challenges. And they've also added something it's not actually directly on Waypoint. But if you go to HaloWaypoint.com, which is the main front page for 343 Industries, And if you go over to the career tab, there's actually a new classified section. So all of those codes that you've seen people YouTubing about, all the stuff that's been in the promotional emails and all that stuff, you can actually go and enter those now on your computer. They have a terminal that's identical to the one that's on the Xbox version of Waypoint, and you can actually enter those codes in there. And there's a few of them that can give you some XP that does armor unlocks, unlocks a couple of videos, and other little goodies such as concept arts that you can view on the Waypoint app. So you can just search on YouTube or some other places for Halo 4 Waypoint symbols, and you can find most of them. There's, I believe, 5 or 6 different sequences that are available right now that you can use, and you can acquire quite a few extra experience that just gets dumped straight into your Spartan Ops career, or your Spartan 4 career. I think at this point you can probably earn up to maybe about 50,000 additional experience. I'm not entirely sure. But there's a lot of them out there, so make sure you just search on YouTube or just search Google or the Waypoint forums for them, because they're out there. That kind of wraps up the 1114 bulletin. Moving on to the 1121 bulletin. This was the introduction of the FFA throwback, or as more commonly known, Rumble Pit. So we have that. That was during the Thanksgiving weekend. But for those on that FFA playlist, we have Haven, Adrift, Complex, Solace, and Abandon. And the game types that are involved with FFA throwback are Oddball and King of the Hill. And they actually offer some pretty good tips for playing both of these playlists. So one thing which is kind of is a throwback to one version of Oddball that I used to play with a former Podtacular member called Logan Payne, is that you can actually, if someone's coming up really close to you and maybe you're low on shields or health, you can throw the ball and actually have them catch it, and then you can proceed to try to take them out or run away. That's kind of with the new system of auto-pick-upping all of the objectives and stuff, so learn to use that to your advantage, because it's something that people will use against you. And being able to kind of figure out how to avoid catching those balls sometimes helps as well, because they misthrow it and then they're screwed anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So something like that is something to keep note on. The Oddball is an instant kill, just like it has been in the past Halo games. So if someone is getting too close, you can just kind of smack them in the face. Compared to most of the other Halo games in the past, whenever you have the Oddball, you have an icon over your head that says where you have the ball. There have been some other... I don't think it's been in any of the like public matchmaking playlists, but I know with some of the other ones, like the MLG ones, the Oddball, you don't see where it is. And I've seen people actually kind of hide in corners thinking they can't be seen with the Oddball, but yeah, if you have the Oddball, you have an icon over your head. Just keep that in mind. Also, the Oddball is affected by grenades, explosions, splash damage, and all that stuff. So if you see the ball rolling around and if you see someone kind of running up to it, you can throw a grenade and try to push the ball away from them, or maybe have the ball kind of roll towards you or something like that. So those are things to keep in mind as well. For King of the Hill, it's a little bit different than your classic King of the Hill that you're used to. Whenever you have a hill that reaches 5 seconds or less, the new hill that's going to come up actually shows up where it's going to be on screen. So you kind of want to implement some strategy of whenever the hill starts to get to that last 5 seconds, if you have people that are outside the hill, you kind of want them walking around to see where the next hill is going to pop up. If there's a big battle for a hill where one team is kind of fighting their way back into the hill, or there's just kind of even battle off on the hill and it's under 5 seconds, you'll see a lot of people just kind of try to start controlling the other hill. I believe once the other hill starts to pop up, the former hill will actually start to count down slowly, even if there's not someone in it. So after about 3 seconds of the hill not being occupied and another hill becoming available, the hill will count down an additional second for every 3 seconds. You can still go in and capture the remaining seconds, but the hill will start to count down on its own, and then the other hill will spawn. And there's actually sometimes there's an overlap where the new hill will be up for a few seconds while the old hill is still being taken. Other than that, the King of the Hill is pretty similar to how it was in the other Halo games.
Which is how it should be.
Yeah, which is how it should be. One final tip on King of the Hill game types is if you're in a vehicle, you can be capturing the hill at the same time. I don't remember if this was specific in Reach or Halo 3. I don't think it was, but I think if in Reach you were in a vehicle and you were in the hill, it didn't count.
I think you had to get out, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I believe you had to get out of the vehicle in order for a hill to count.
Which is fair.
Yeah, but in Halo 4, that's not the case. You can be in a vehicle and in the hill, and you can be getting time for it.
That's a little ridiculous.
Yeah, because it's more like a power hill.
Yeah.
But to that effect, the hills are only 25 seconds long.
That's a good... that's all right, I guess. I don't know, I just like...
I like the other way of doing it too is if you're in a vehicle, you don't get hill time because you're just kind of sitting there in the power weapon, just waiting for people to kind of come.
Yeah.
What I've noticed is
what they seem to be doing with, like, I'm looking at the big picture with this hill thing. Like, now you can be in a vehicle in the hill. Oh, but that's like a balance. That's like okay because the hill duration is also shorter, so everything is balanced. Well, like, they seem to do a lot of that where, like, they change something up that's been the same for forever. They change something up, and then they try to balance that change by, like, changing something else. Like, we're going to change this, but that's okay, because we're changing this also, so everything is now balanced. Well, it's like, you don't even need to do that. I mean, if you would just leave everything the same as it's always been, then it's just balanced, because, like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
That gets boring.
No, it doesn't get boring. It doesn't get boring at all. Not to me, not to many other people. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Like, hey, 343, like, you guys want things to be balanced. Well, that's already possible by just not changing anything.
Well, I think with just how they've evolved Halo, things are going to change. Halo,
that's a slippery slope, in my opinion.
Well, I think that's the direction that first-person shooters need to go. They need to change something.
I mean, that's almost like an oxymoron, in my opinion. First-person shooters evolving. I mean, how? It's a first-person shooter. Like, you're a guy with a gun. Like, how is it really going to evolve like that much? Like, if you want to say like MMOs need to evolve, I could kind of like jive with that a little bit. But I mean, a first-person shooter, like, you're a guy with a gun. I mean, it can't evolve like that much.
Well, the basics of it can't evolve. Yeah, you're a guy with a gun, but it's everything else around that.
I mean, vehicles,
experience.
Sure. The thing is, like, changing things doesn't necessarily mean evolution. Like, right? Because all change is good change. All progress is good progress. All progress is good progress, and all change is good change. Right? I mean, that's kind of what you're saying.
Not necessarily. Not
all change is a good change. Not all progress is good progress. Just because you're changing something doesn't mean it's evolving or getting better. You're just changing, and that's all you're doing. And it might not be for the better.
Yeah.
That sounds like a rhyme. but seriously, though, I mean, like... Okay, think of it this way. Like, say like, I'm a person... And I like to wear t-shirts, but then one day I decide to stop wearing t-shirts and I decide to start wearing sweaters. Does that mean my fashion sense has evolved? Absolutely not. It means all I've done is change something, and it might not be for the better. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it seems that 343 change instantly means evolution, like, slash it's getting better, but I don't think so. Change just means change. That's it.
It's just a matter of how they're kind of forming the experience to be what they want it to be. The next thing in the bulletin is a little interview that they did with some Spartan Ops developers. And if you want to read the full interview, you can head over to the bulletin for November 21st. But a couple of things that I wanted to pick out from what they said in the interview was that Spartan Ops was designed to be a narrative integrated multiplayer experience. And it's designed for co-op, and they want it to be kind of integrated with the campaign and multiplayer spaces, which is why a lot of the environments that you see in Spartan Ops is identical to the ones they were in campaign. And as we saw in some of the later episodes, they actually pulled in some of the multiplayer maps as well. So we have Ragnarok that was actually used in Spartan Ops, which is actually called Two Towers. And they're in, and I wouldn't be surprised if we saw some of the other multiplayer maps used in Spartan Ops as well. We haven't seen any other ones used yet, but with the Crimson map pack coming out really soon, I have a feeling that some of those will be used as environments for Spartan Ops episodes 6 through 10. Some of the other things that they mentioned was they wanted the encounters to be built around the play space that they're in. So the designers and the people writing the story for Spartan Ops would kind of come together and come up with scenarios that they would want to implement, but then work it into the space that they have. So from the second week that we saw Spartan Ops come out, we saw that they're going to use same environments over and over again. So it was a challenge mostly to take encounters that they wanted to do, but do it in such a way that they could tailor the map to be a somewhat singular experience.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that they're...
So, like, every Spartan Ops episode we get, it's like, ooh, I wonder where I'll be going this time. Let's see. Yeah. Fortress, Cauldron, Refuge, Valhalla. What a surprise.
Well, so for most of the missions that they do a good job of really looking at different ways to utilize the map, different ways to have someone navigate. Now, the ones on Ragnarok so far, they've been primarily firefight-like, so it's...
Which works pretty well, actually.
Yeah, for something like Spartan Ops, it actually... I was surprised to see how well it actually worked with some of the missions that we've seen. But for maps like Cauldron, I think that's probably one of the more prime examples of what they could do with a environment space, because I think we see it used 3 or 4 times. I know it's used in episode 1 and episode 5. It's used in episode 2. I'm looking through the rest of them here. And episode 4. So episodes 1, 2, 4, and 5 have the cauldron in it.
But at least you're never really going through it like the same exact way.
Right. You start at different points on the map. For example, the first week you start up in the lava flows, and the second week you start off where you actually picked up the artifact from the first week. And just the way they kind of created those scenarios is actually somewhat, as a somewhat unique experience, actually kind of shows what they could do with the play spaces, which kind of leads me to wonder what new maps that they're going to come out with in the new Spartan Ops episodes, which we'll get to in a later bulletin here in a few minutes. But being able to kind of script those encounters based on the play space was one thing that they said was kind of a challenge, but was something that they wanted to really look into doing with Spartan Ops. And then, they mentioned having the new environments in the new season. So from what was revealed a little bit later, that actually turns out to be completely new environments. None of the environments that were used in episodes 1 through 5 are supposed to be used in episodes 6 through 10, so we're going to get whole new environments involved with the episodes. What do you think about that? Because there are some of these environments that I wouldn't mind seeing again.
Use some of them again, but don't use all of them again.
Right. I mean, maybe
just use new stuff too. I mean,
I wouldn't mind seeing one of these maps pop in once in these future episodes. I mean, I like the fact that they're doing new play spaces, but I don't think it's totally foreign to not include one of the older maps in there. But from what we've heard, they're all going to be new maps. So we're going to have all new play spaces to explore and learn what to do. And that might be another reason, is from the first 5 episodes, we're familiar with the environments, and maybe it's not as challenging anymore. And maybe just with the storyline of how Spartan Ops is going, they're just kind of moving to a new place. So those will be interesting to see as well. And I have a suspicious feeling that we're going to see some of the Crimson maps in Spartan Ops. I wouldn't put it past them to do that. So in the November 29th bulletin for Halo Waypoint, we have the announcement of the Crimson Map Pack. This is when it actually got announced. So there are three maps that are going to be included, and they are Shattered, Harvest, and Wreckage. As far as all three of these maps look really good to me. I know, Daft, you have some issues with some of them. Not necessarily issues, but...
Not really. I just noticed that they all kind of look the same. Like, the terrain on them kind of looks the same. It's all, like, rocky and craggy.
I guess for Wreckage and Shattered, yeah, it definitely seems that way. Harvest, I mean, it's a little bit more based around the structure of the building that you're playing around, so... I think that one is pretty much uniquely different from the other two, but I guess I can see where you're coming with. It is based off the whole kind of, or at least the terrain surrounding the area is rocky.
Mm.
But Harvest is built more in the city, so I think that one is kind of set apart a little bit. The Crimson Map Pack is set to drop on December 10th, which is actually 2 days away from when we're recording this. And if you bought the limited edition, you will get these for free. And if you did not, you can buy them for $10 or for 800 Microsoft points. And we also have the... in this week's bulletin, we actually had videos that IGN put out going through, doing some walkthroughs through each one. But going back to last week's bulletin, just looking at the screenshots... I think for the most part, Wreckage and Shattered seem kind of remind me of some past Halo maps. Shattered is it's green shaded, so similar to how Abandoned is purple shaded, this one's is green shaded. It's supposed to be set around a UNSC mining facility. There's warthogs, and this one's another Mantis map. So we'll see that one dominating a lot probably. It's designed for big team game types, so stuff like Dominion, Extraction, CTF, and those kind of game types. To me, this one is vaguely has some similar feelings to Waterworks from Halo 2. I don't know if you've seen the video IGN put out.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, Deathlink. But if you look at the central building as kind of the water tower, and then there's some caves that go along the sides, and just kind of how the rock structures are placed throughout. There's some reminiscence in Shattered, I think, that kind of look back to Waterworks a little bit. At least that's kind of how it feels. Have you seen the video at all? That they did on Shattered yet?
No.
Okay. So that's something we'll have to look at in 2 days when it comes out. This map is nowhere near symmetrical. It's definitely an asymmetrical map, or at least it feels that way. I guess they do say it's symmetrical, but looking through how the, at least when they did the walkthrough on IGN, there are the two bases on the other side and there's a center structure, but in terms of how the rocks are laid out and everything else, it doesn't feel that symmetrical to me.
Hmm. All right.
I mean, they do say in the bulletin it's a large symmetrical map. I want to see how it plays first before I really agree to it being symmetrical.
Okay.
At least that's how I feel about it.
All right.
The next one on the list was Harvest. This is a small, medium-sized map, ideal for Capture the Flag. This one is very symmetrical, and there's a big building that's basically splitting the map in half. That's built on the edge of a cliff, and there's a terrain on either sides. On one side, it's kind of more like indoors where you can drive around on rock and dirt, and then there's an outside, which is actually on the side of the cliff, and there's actually kind of a shield barrier that kind of prevents you from jumping out of the map if you're on vehicles. But there are a couple of kind of rock ramps that you can jump over that. So that makes the map is really good for vehicle gameplay. And I would, if they bring back Race, which I have a feeling they would, this would make a pretty interesting derby or race type map. If we saw something like Rocket Race come back in, I think this would be a prime map to use for that kind of game type. As far as the inner buildings of this, there's a lot of multi-tiers and a lot of ramps. There's some lifts that go up on either side as well. So there's a lot of kind of varied gameplay, a lot of places where you can run around corners and get into cover really quickly. So this one's going to be a really good dynamic map to play on, I think, for small to mid-team objectives like Capture the Flag and Oddball. And then probably just a good, I would say it would be a good Team Slayer map. They say this is really more for objective-based, but I could see some pretty cool games of Slayer going on in here as well. Finally, the last map on the list is Wreckage. It's a medium-sized map that is asymmetrical, perfect for King of the Hill and Capture the Flag. There's some similarities for me that kind of goes back to Burial Mounds from Halo 2. Just judging from the screenshots and the color palette, the layout's not identical, but just the environment and the feel of it feels somewhat similar to that Halo 2 map. And that's all the maps that we're getting in the Crimson Map Pack. Again, that comes out on December 10th for $10 or 800 Microsoft points. And there's going to be a Crimson DLC playlist that comes along with that as well when those maps get dropped. And that kind of transitions us into this week's bulletin for December 6th. So the Crimson DLC playlist is going to come in. Team Regicide playlist is going to stay. King of the Hill playlist is taking a back seat for the Crimson DLC playlist. So that's going away for a bit, but they did say it's going to make its return. For the Crimson DLC playlist, we're going to see the following combinations. Infinity Slayer on Shattered, Capture the Flag on Shattered, Extraction on Shattered, King of the Hill on Shattered. On Wreckage, Infinity Slayer, Capture the Flag, King of the Hill, and Oddball. And on Harvest, Infinity Slayer, Capture the Flag, and King of the Hill. Crimson maps will be integrated into existing playlists as well. For Infinity Slayer, we're going to have Harvest. On Big Team Infinity Slayer, we're going to see Wreckage and Shatter. On Dominion, we're going to see Shatter. On Capture the Flag, we're going to see Harvest and Wreckage. On SWAT, we'll see Harvest. And then in Team Slayer Pro, we'll see Harvest as well. And that's based on the December 6th bulletin. In terms of Spartan Ops, since we are not getting another one until January 14th, that is when the second half of Season 1 is going to drop. For this next coming week, we are going to see a customized playlist for Spartan Ops. So the five things that you will be able to choose from are Chapter 5, Episode 1 on Core, or it's called Core, Hacksaw from Chapter 3 of Episode 2, Shootout in Valhalla from Chapter 4 of Episode 3, The Didax Gift from Chapter 5 of Episode 4, and then Spartan Miller from Chapter 1 of Episode 5. So we get one chapter from each episode that's going to be in the Spartan Ops playlist for this week. And then starting off the week afterwards, is we're going to see all the episodes rotate back into matchmaking for Spartan Ops. So it's going to be Episode 1, Episode 2, 3, 4, 5, leading up to the release of Episode 6 on January 14th. And if you guys watched the VGAs last night, as of this recording, which was December 7th, then you saw the trailer for Spartan Ops, Episodes 6 through 10. I personally was not that impressed with the trailer. I mean, I know we were seeing some stuff, some new stuff coming in, but as far as like what it's revealing, what is going to go on in Spartan Ops for the rest of this episode or the season, I didn't pull much from it. Did you get a chance to watch VGAs last night?
No, I don't really care for Samuel L. Jackson. So,
the cool parts of the VGAs, or I think one of the coolest parts was having the live orchestra there. But other than that, once Snoop Dogg came in, it just killed it for me. I mean,
yeah, their crap is stupid. They're all stupid in my opinion. Yeah.
I mean, personally, I'm a Linkin Park fan, so I thought that was pretty cool. But I mean, once you threw Snoop Dogg in there, and I'm kind of indifferent towards Tenacious D, but having Tenacious D in there was just a little, like, really? and having them.
Yeah, what about your clowns?
Yeah, I mean, it's the VGAs. Every year, everyone complains about it. And
They're a bunch of clowns. That's all.
So yeah.
Just laugh, enjoy the ride down the slide, Dusty.
I guess.
Clowns.
Last thing in the bulletin that we're going to address before we drop off for this episode is the Halo 4 Infinity Challenge, or it's more like a tournament, but they call it an Infinity Challenge, and this is a contest that is going on between December 17th and January 19th, and this gives you a chance to win some cool prizes. There are going to be over 2,800 prizes that are given out, and there are three different categories that you can earn prizes for. One is competing and doing the best in war games, competing and doing the best in Spartan Ops, and then that waypoint section of the challenges that you've seen, but you haven't seen any challenges pop in. There's going to be special challenges in that section now that are going to be geared towards this contest. So what you can do is go and register over at Halo4InfinityChallenge.com. You can find that website on the bulletin as well if you just want to go click it instead of typing that whole thing in. And you have until December 12th to register, so that's 4 days from when this podcast is being released. And for first place of the War Games section, you will get a UNSC theme, and this is real life, and I guess quick disclaimer, you have to be resident in the North America region. I don't think you're eligible to get this prize if you're somewhere else. But if you get first place in the War Games bracket, then you get a UNSC themed 2013 Ford F-150 Raptor. I don't know how expensive that is, but you will win that if you get first place in the War Games section. If you get first place in the Spartan Ops section, you will have the chance to have a cameo in a future upcoming Halo game. So Halo 5 or 6, you will have a short 2-minute spot that you will get to have in there. So if you want to be in a Halo game, do well in Spartan Ops. And then there are additional prizes that you can get if you play in do the waypoint challenges. Throughout the contest, there's going to be a initial kind of pilot phase. So in the preliminary phase, that happens from December 17th when the contest opens up and goes on until January 10th. Based on how well you perform in the qualifier phase, you will be placed into tiers, and those tiers will be broken up into three different tiers. The first one consists of the top 10% of players that have competed in the competition. The second tier will be the ones from 11% to 40th percentile of the players that are in there, and then the third tier is going to consist of the bottom 60%. And then, based on those tiers, you will have 1 week to place yourself in the final phase, which happens from January 12th to January 19th. And based on how well you do for the top tier, if you get first place, you will win those prizes. For any of the other tiers, you get some other cool prizes as well, some of which are being the Vanguard personal gaming system, the one that's customized, the Halo 4 customized one that has all the UNSC stuff on it. And those are going to have 223 available to be given away. For tier 2, there's some possibility that you will get one of the Triton Halo 4 headsets. There are 400 of those to give out. And in the tier 3 prizing, you have some clothing, some hoodies, some hats, and some other things as well. Full prize listing and details are on the Halo4InfinityChallenge.com website. So make sure you go check that out if it's something that you're interested in. And good luck to any and all people who participate. And that pretty much wraps it up for the show. Daff had to duck out because he has work that he has to go to. So want to thank him for being on the show. We do have a survey that's been out for a little while now that we released about 2 weeks ago. If you guys have seen it on our blog, then you've probably already taken it. Or maybe if you saw it on Twitter, you've already gone over there and given us some of your feedback. But this is the first time we're announcing it on the podcast. So if you have something that you want to talk about, at least regarding the show specifically, You have some suggestions that you want us to hear. You have some complaints that you may have about us or anything else regarding the podcast. We are looking for feedback from everyone on how we're doing, stuff that we've been doing with the podcast that you may want to see changed, stuff that we've done in the past that you might want to see returned back into the fold, and maybe you have something that you want a guest to come on that might have a certain knowledge about a certain topic that you want us to cover and all that kind of stuff. So if you would please go over to podtacular.com/survey, that'll take you to a Google Docs form that you can fill out. And there's 6 different pages covering stuff like the podcast audio, the content that we talk about, the guests that we have on, and all that stuff. So if you would please go over there and give us a rating of what you think about the podcast, we would really, really appreciate it. Because we want to make this podcast a podcast that you guys enjoy and that you go to for your Halo news every week. We will be returning to a weekly format here really quickly, guys. But since we have been behind on getting content out, we are going to be doubling up podcasts for a couple of weeks. We're going to be front-loading some podcasts, including the ones that we said we've been going to do, the formatted ones where we're talking about campaigns, Spartan Ops, and War Games. We are going to be pulling those together before the holiday break so we can release them on a regular schedule as we are out doing our own thing, hanging with family, traveling for the holidays. But you guys will still have us in your ears. So we hope you guys will tune in over the holidays, and hopefully you can get some entertainment out of this. Thank you all again for listening. Like we've said before, the next show that we'll have, it will probably be about the War Games, kind of our initial thoughts on it. And we'll talk about the title update that got pushed out earlier this week. So look forward to that episode coming really soon. Again, you can find us on podtacular.com. And while you're there, check out our forums. You can also find us on Twitter, twitter.com/podtacular, Facebook, facebook.com/podtacular, and YouTube, youtube.com/podtactv. And when we do get into our formatted shows, we will be putting up tips videos on the multiplayer maps. So we'll be kind of going through where weapon placements are. We'll take a look at some of the game types as well. And hopefully there will be a good supplement to the podcast. So we're working with some community members to bring that to you as well. Finally, make sure you check out Monday Night Matchmaking. It's still happening on Mondays. Last weekend, we didn't quite have it because of me having to pick up Christmas presents from a shipping center, so it kind of just fell off the map. But we will be doing it again this next week. And during the Christmas break, so on December 24th, we will not be having it because I will be at home enjoying time with my family. But the following week, on December 31st, New Year's Eve, we will be resuming Monday Night Matchmaking. They happen at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, which is 5:30 p.m. Pacific time. So if you want to get on and play some big team multiplayer for Halo 4, feel free to come on over, and you can send us messages whenever we're online. I'm usually the one to start off the party, and my gamer tag is Pod, P-O-D, Duststorm, with spaces appropriate. So make sure you just come and check us out. Until next time, keep on fragging those trucks.